The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
A major cleanup operation is expected to get underway in San Jose today, targeting a massive homeless encampment that has existed for as long as a decade. KCBS's Matt Bigler is live from the scene at Columbus Park. It's morning, Matt.
Good morning, Eric. You know, it's been a long time since Columbus Park looked anything like an actual park. There are dozens of rundown RVs, piles of refuse, and, well, to be honest with you, rats running around everywhere. But after 10 years of this, the encampment is going to be removed starting this morning. I just spoke with Jason, who had a flashlight in one hand and a gas can in the other.
Going to 7-Eleven to get gas.
For your RV?
Yeah.
Is it operable? Can you move it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's my girlfriend's RV, but yeah.
So what's your plan?
To get out of here.
Do you know where you'll go?
Not sure.
And that is the question that a lot of these RV dwellers are asking this morning. Some residents have agreed to sell their motorhomes for $2,000 in exchange for promises of housing. They'll actually be allowed to remain this morning. They have a red placard on their RVs that says not to be moved. The city insists housing is available for those who want it. After the cleanup, though, the park will be restored for public use and re-encampment will not be allowed, according to the city. Operation Cleanup Columbus is expected to take about 8 weeks to complete. Live at Columbus Park in San Jose, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
Thank you very much, Matt. San Mateo County Sheriff Christina Corpus is back in the courtroom today as she makes her case to a judge about why she should keep her job. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports live. It's the latest in two parallel efforts aimed at removing the embattled sheriff. Mike?
That's right, Eric. San Mateo County voters granted supervisors the power to remove Sheriff Christina Corpus. These next 10 days, the chance for her to convince them otherwise. Nearly 40 witnesses, most of them current or former employees of the sheriff's office, will testify about the accusations of retaliation, intimidation, and corruption. Legal analyst Stephen Clark.
A lot of what Sheriff Corpus has complained about is that these witnesses were not firsthand accounts of her wrongdoings, but were based on mere speculation and rumor, and that's not allowed in a court of law.
Clark says, given the unique nature of all this and the potential for appeal, it's possible a separate grand jury trial could hold stronger legal muster.
There's nothing that's equivalent to it, and I think the judge will have to rule on how to best conduct this trial as he goes along.
Now, that retired judge hearing the case will have 45 days to make a recommendation to supervisors, who would then take a final vote, likely in the fall. Supervisor David Canepa.
The board has not made a final act.
Reporting live, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Air Canada has put a plan to restart operations on hold after its flight attendants union decided to defy a return-to-work order. The Canada Industrial Relations Board had ordered staffers to be back on the job by yesterday afternoon, but the union refused. Air Canada does plan to resume flights by tonight. The shutdown started early Saturday, and hundreds of flights have been canceled. So even after Air Canada begins flying again, it could be days before things are back to normal. A mystery at sea. A ghost ship showed up in the waters off Northern California with no signs of any living souls on board. Its captain, 70-year-old Joseph Kawahara, set sail from Nia Bay, Washington. His last contact with the world was 10 days ago. Since then, the boat's automatic identification system shows his vessel was traveling south at a speed of about 4 knots per day for a total of about 400 miles. A Coast Guard official tells SF Gate the boat was located by a Coast Guard aircraft whose pilot and crew could see the lights were still on, its fishing gear was on deck, and the life raft was still secured in its spot. The boat was towed to Eureka and is now moored there. A search of the waters and coastline near the Olympic Peninsula did not turn up any sign of Kawahara, nor did a search personnel find any clues as to his fate in the waters near where the boat was found. It's been almost 3 years since storms destroyed a number of roads along the ocean in Santa Cruz County. Now, as KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports, one of those iconic roads has fully reopened.
One-way traffic, detours into neighborhoods, but it's finally cleared out here on Westcliff Drive in Santa Cruz. With it reopened and a new seawall erected, residents enjoying it as they stroll.
It's a beautiful place to come.
I think it's kind of nice. It gives the community more of a, you know, element to get out there and do more and, you know, have more options.
Huge waves led to portions of the road collapsing into the ocean. Santa Cruz Mayor Fred Keeley.
But I think what it does is helps give us an understanding of the power of the Pacific Ocean, the power of nature.
120 feet of the pathway along Westcliff Drive was destroyed when it happened. In Santa Cruz, Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
A plan is now in place to protect California's treasured Joshua trees from threats posed by climate change by identifying and protecting future habitats where the trees could survive and thrive as temperatures rise. Some recommendations included limiting development, reducing wildfire risk, and introducing genetically varied trees that would be better able to withstand the heat. A state law calling for the plan's creation was enacted in 2023 and was given final approval last week by the Fish and Game Commission. Its backers say it is unique because this is the first to take steps to conserve a species that's abundant now, but whose future existence is in question due to climate change. In the days leading up to International Overdose Awareness Day, San Francisco health officials are talking about how to prevent them. KCBS's Jade Hernandez was there for the lesson before a drag performance in the Mission.
The music, the mood, the bar all reflected a party-like atmosphere. That's exactly where the need can follow, says experts from the San Francisco Department of Health. So inside El Rio, in the Mission, and just before a drag performance, there was talk of overdose prevention.
Healthy and keep coming back to all of our parties.
One of the producers of this particular drag show, Tom Timprano.
I think if you talk to any queer person that I know, we know folks who have been impacted by this overdose crisis. We've lost friends to this overdose crisis.
And it doesn't have to be that way, says Eileen Loughran with the city's Department of Health.
People on the street know it as Narcan, but it's actually naloxone. And that is safe, it's legal, and it's very easy to use. And that is the antidote that can reverse an overdose. You administer it like a nasal spray.
Jade Hernandez, KCBS.
We've heard about the dangers of vaping. And as KCBS's Kathy Whitman reports, there's new evidence that it can be even more toxic when CBD is vaped.
CBD, a byproduct of the marijuana plant, is often used medicinally for patients undergoing chemotherapy, treating epilepsy, and relieving pain. It's often inhaled through a vape pen. UC Merced professor of organic chemistry Ryan Baxter led a study showing what happens when the CBD is exposed to high heat and oxygen.
Like what would be common to using a vape cartridge, this thing breaks down into a different type of chemical entity, and that entity is toxic to human tissue.
They studied those human tissues in a petri dish, a sterile environment, so in a real setting, the damage could be even worse.
Even just poor storage conditions of things that are used in vape cartridges could lead to this chemical breakdown, but the conditions that speed up the breakdown are high heat.
Right now, the study was done with CBD, but other vaping products could pose dangers as well. The next step,
to determine what the safety profile is of common vaping components.
Kathy Whitman, KCBS.
California is worried about a drop in tourism from Canada, but at SFO, they're seeing an opposite trend. KCBS's Brett Burkhart reports.
54 million passengers passed through SFO last fiscal year, a jump of 3.5% from the previous year.
What's interesting is some of the numbers that we're seeing kind of go against some of the anecdotal things that we've been hearing.
And while California launched an ad campaign in Canada this year to attract more tourists, Doug Akel with SFO says,
our June figures to and from Canada, it's up over 10% compared to last year. It's up over 4% the rolling 12-month period.
Something he partially attributes to SFO's location.
Kind of midpoint location on the peninsula, close access to a lot of areas, that's a plus. And then I would hope that the continued investment we're making in our facilities make a difference as well.
He says it doesn't hurt that 30% of SFO's traffic is from international locations, much more than many other airports.
That's a nice big number to have.
Brett Burkhart, KCBS.
People living in Los Gatos have had enough of reckless e-bike riders. The town's vice mayor, Rob Moore, hosted a meeting to discuss concerns about dangerous e-bike riding, specifically teenagers who pop wheelies on streets and cut off drivers. One suggestion is to require students who ride e-bikes to register them with their school districts. The Los Gatos Monte Sereno Police Department is working with local schools to promote safe and legal e-bike use. In a move that spells trouble for small towns, the Delta city of Ileton could be facing bankruptcy unless it gets a loan from Sacramento County. As KCBS reporter Holly Kwan tells us, the city of only 800 people is in debt nearly $5 million.
You call us coffee.
That's what Ileton's last city council meeting sounded like. Part of the chaos was over the removal of the mayor over business improprieties, but most was over what the city is going to do to stay solvent. In January, it laid off nearly all of its paid fire department to save money. Now it's mostly volunteers. In June, a grand jury report suggested considering bankruptcy due to financial mismanagement and a lack of transparency. That report was rejected by the city, despite owing $4.7 million to creditors. So now the city is asking Sacramento County for an $800,000 loan. Acting Finance Director Jessica Bigby telling CBS Sacramento,
I think change is going to be painful. The city has operated in one way for decades, and to actually put them on the right path, it's going to look really rocky.
Ileton doesn't have a lot of assets to generate income. It relies primarily on property taxes from longtime residents like Mary Costello.
Those of us on fixed incomes are going to have to decide between eating or medicine or paying our sewer bill. And that's where you have put us.
Holly Kwan, KCBS.
A beloved grocery co-op in San Francisco is celebrating a milestone anniversary. KCBS's Jade Hernandez reports from the Mission.
To walk through this block party, one might not have guessed it was to highlight a neighborhood anchor store, Rainbow Grocery. Marking a half century in business is no easy task, especially through a pandemic.
You know, people thought we had their best interests in heart as members of the community. You know, as a worker and cooperative, you know, none of the money that people spend in our store goes anywhere else. It goes back into the community.
To hear Gordon Edgar tell it.
I have been at Rainbow 31 years.
A worker-owned co-op helped keep the lights on and doors open during lockdown.
We all live here. We're all Bay Area people. A lot of us grew up in the Bay Area. And it's just a way to kind of keep San Francisco, San Francisco, you know.
The National Center for Employee Ownership conducted a study to dig into employee stock ownership in 2020 and uncovered this model offered better health benefits and retirement security, which retained employees and boosted business profits. Dee's been a customer for years.
It's a one of a kind. It really is.
Which keeps this grocery store thriving, not just surviving. Jade Hernandez, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying play KCBS Radio.